really had a good time. And you know what was kind of funny is we got going, and they would start out VBS with all this stuff going on up here. And the parents would come in, and they'd hang around for that dance and all that kind of thing, then go home, you know, and come back and get their kids. So I thought that was kind of funny because we got all these parents were trying to drop off their kids, but they couldn't because they were having too much fun up here. Happy Father's Day to you dads that are here. And, you know, I was thinking, I want to read this, quickly read this scripture from Ephesians. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition, or the training and discipline of the Lord. And, you know, as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? Just your mere presence here, whether you're a dad or a grandfather or a great-grandfather, you are demonstrating to your kids that church is important. And that God's important in your life just by sitting in a chair. And for that alone, I thank you. But I also want to thank you for your willingness to teach your kids biblical principles and scripture and those kind of things and wisdom that they need. So happy Father's Day, and I'll see you at the BBQ. All right? So let's start our study with a moment of silence. We're going to pray for two things and we typically pray for. First is that... ask God to remove the obstacles out of your own heart, and then on the second one, to pray for me that I'll tell forth the word. And you know, because of all the vacations and stuff, we had a hard time getting going on this service, and we were about 10 minutes late, so it's already 15 after, so we're going to run a little late. Can I have your permission on that? Okay. not that we don't usually run late anyhow, but... so anyhow, let's just stop and pray and just ask the Lord, invite the Lord into our hearts. Father, we do come this morning to ask that you remove the obstacles from our heart, all the things that are going on. We have plans today, all the kinds of things are happening. All the things that happen during the week, help us to push those aside so we can hear your word. And then I pray that you would be with me as I present the word of God, that your very word that you established with us, Lord, may I represent it in truth and honesty. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. As I thought about our scripture this morning, and it's to me, it's one of the most exciting verses in the Bible, I went out to my patio to sit down and read my Bible and study on last Monday, and it was in the morning. And when I did, all of a sudden I heard all this squawking. And I looked up, and there were these blackbirds that have decided to make their nests on my patio. And so their young are just enough to flying, you know, but they're kind of bouncing around the ground and trying to get off, and they're having a tough time learning. And so mom and dad position themselves on the roof and a few other places, and they just squawk and squawk and squawk. It was driving me crazy, and I thought, wait a minute, I came out here for peace and quiet, to have some quiet with the Lord, and these blackbirds are just going crazy. And then they began to fly over my head. Like somehow they're going to dive bomb me. And I think, wait a minute, this is my patio. And you know what the blackbirds are thinking? Wait a minute, this is my patio. And so I kind of wished I had a tennis racket. I could just reach up and, you know, kind of help them understand that it's my patio. And you know, the joke is they think I'm the visitor and that I'm a threat. And... so as I listen to this squawk, 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 and I'm thinking, do I want to stay out here? Then all of a sudden, a squirrel comes down this branch. We have some branches growing on this screen that I put around our patio, and it comes down, and it comes over, and it starts eating those rose hips, those rose buds. You know, my wife has tons of roses. And so it's scrambling around and trying to find things, and I'm Debbie sees it and starts shooing it away, and it just moves around, but it doesn't go anywhere. And you know, I looked at that and I thought, my patio is never going to be deserted. If I'm gone, There's going to be squirrels and there's going to be blackbirds and the robins are eating up all our cherries. And I look at that and I think, you know, it's like our hearts. It's always going to be filled with something. Amen? Always going to be filled. And it may be with people, it may be with birds or squirrels, but it's always going to be filled. And we need to make a conscious choice about what we fill our hearts with, because our hearts will never be empty. Do you get that? Our hearts will never be empty. It may be filled with good things, and it may be filled with righteous things, the things that Paul's talking about in Philippians 4:8. And it's always going to be filled with thoughts and attitudes. And the question is, are you going to allow your heart to be filled with the negative and the ugly? And you know you do that, because I do. We start thinking, go downward, we call it spiraling downward, right? Or we think about the right things and the good things and the just things and the noble things that Paul talks about. And so this morning, let's fill our lives with, in our hearts, in our minds, with Philippians 4:8. Finally, or from now on, and remember, he's asking for a commitment from you and I when he says that. From now on, brethren, whatever things are true, truthful, or honest, or have an integrity, whatever things are noble, respectable, dignified, moral character, whatever things are just, meaning according to God's righteous principles and values, whatever things are pure, meaning innocent and wholesome and moral purity, whatever things are lovely, which means unifying and agreeable, whatever things are of good report, positive and constructive and worthy of praise, if there is any virtue, meaning goodness or excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, ponder, contemplate, dwell on these things. Now, I want to look this morning at the second whatever. And whatever means as much as. And what Paul's saying is, much as you possibly can, put your mind on these things. And remember, this is a working out of the holiness of God. What God desires for you and I, he has in verse 8. And that's why the verse is so important, because I don't know about you, but I remember it from an early kid listening to preachers on the radio. I had one of those little crystal sets, and I used to listen to it while I laid in bed, and I'd hear people say, God says, be holy as I am holy. And I mean, even as a kid, I thought, man, that's impossible. I don't know how in the world I'm going to be holy. And I don't know if you felt the same way, but be holy as I'm holy. Well, this is how we do it in verse 8. God has given us the ability to think in terms of holiness. And so the first one was that we were to meditate and ponder what's true and what's truth. Not dealing with half-truths, not dealing with dishonesty or deceit, because God's personality is truth. But here's the second whatever. And I want to start with the beginning of the verse and then add it in there. Finally, or from now on, brethren, whatever things are noble, respectable, serious, honorable, of moral character, think on those things. Now let's examine ourselves for a second before we get going here. Are we respectable? Do we have a sense of respect? You know, a lot of times I look at today, we used to be in the Heritage School, and it was an alternative high school, and I was simply amazed at how little respect the kids had for the teachers. I you know, it was such a contrast to when I was in school. You didn't talk back to the teachers. Maybe when you got to middle school or high school, you could kind of banter a little bit or whatever, but you did it very carefully, and those kids just stand up and yell at the teachers and show no respect. And I look at that and I think, have we taught them that? Do we have a sense of respect? Do we have a sense of honorableness, that we are honorable? in all that we say and do? Do we have a moral character, a strong moral character that drives us? And do we meditate on those things? You know, I love the word noble in here because the old King James and New King James says, whatever things are noble. Nobility for us is what God's looking for. Nobility. It means to be gracious and decent and good and take the high road or anything in life that has to do with moral purity. But we have very little training because we are not raised in a government where we have a king and a queen and in a certain sense of nobility, so nobility almost has no meaning to us. And certainly we have very few examples in our society of nobleness. And yet God is asking for you and I to be noble, to have nobility. Now, I'm going to admit, I watched the wedding with Prince William and Catherine. Debbie recorded it, and so on one of my days off, we sat in the morning and watched it, and we watched all the people come in, you know, and I know that many of you did. The men always hate to admit those kind of things, but we do it, you know, and so I really loved it because when the Queen of England came, and you know, they have these certain set rules of nobility that you do. For instance, when the Queen, whatever the Queen, whatever she wears, the color she wears, no one else can wear that color. And so, and they have certain protocol on what they do. And, you know, the Queen of England is, in that sense, she doesn't have an unkind word. I remember seeing this special on her, and there's certain times when their servants would goop up in the protocol, and she would be sweetly admonish them and let them know that they were inappropriate, but she didn't yell or she didn't do those kind of things. And so, you know, the nobility of the King and Queen of England gets so non-offensive that it almost doesn't have any impact anymore because she's technically the head of the Church of England. And I believe that has religious roots, that Philippians 4:8 is probably even where it came from, where there was a sense of needing nobility. But the problem is it's no longer based on God, it's based on the Queen. And so the Queen has this nobleness and everybody around has this proper way of doing things, and yet they've kind of lost the godly aspect. And at that same wedding, the ladies all had to wear hats. Did you notice that? They all were wearing hats because you wear hats in church and when there's church. And so every woman there had a hat. So then it became a fashion show as to whose hat was the neatest. You know, and the guys dressed in suits or military dress. And you see even the picture right there with the prince with his military on and the other gentleman there with his tuxedo and top hat on. And why? Why do they do all this nobility thing, this royal thing? Believe it or not, it's so it's not to offend. They come dressed up because nobody's offended by being dressed up. But what if somebody came in shorts and tennis shoes? Well, they'd be pretty offended. And so in like manner, Paul suggests to you and I not to wear suits or hats or military dress. But nobility means with a moral gauge and with a seriousness, and we're not to offend others if at all possible. That we need moral strength and character and things that are good, and we need to meditate and dwell on those things, so that we're in a place of being like God. Finally, brethren, whatever things are noble, respectable, serious, honorable, or moral character. Man, I wish we didn't offend people. I wish we didn't have that. But you know, if you've lived very long, you've offended people and people have offended you. And I remember even in the Gospels, Jesus says offenses will come and people will be offended. But we have to watch out. We have to make sure we don't have those blackbirds or those squirrels in our head but we have nobility. We have the lack of offense in our head, the seriousness, the honorableness, the moral structure in our lives, so that we aren't easily offended or easily offend others. Now, noble means to be gracious and decent, to be righteous in actions, have good and splendid behaviors, and dwell on those things. That's what the dictionary says. And then in another part, when it explains it, it says, having excellent moral character, possessing high ideals, impressive in quality or appearance. That's all what the secular world says about noble. And God says we're to meditate and contemplate on those things. Now, if you're like me, I imagine you found yourself thinking about the holiness of God and thinking about a sense of personal holiness working out in our lives without it being a major ordeal or a major frustration, because we go through those times where we do pretty well and then we don't do so well, and we pick up the pieces and we do well and we don't do so well. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's because it's what you're meditating on. It's what you're meditating on, what you're thinking about. And Paul gives us the key to personal holiness, and that is to meditate, to contemplate, to fill up our mind with the things that he's told us to think about. Now, the word character derived in the Greek comes from the word character. It's almost exactly the way we say it in English. And it originally was used as the mark that's placed upon a coin. Like if you pull out a nickel, you've got a head on that, and that's the imprint on that coin, and that's exactly what the character is talking about. In fact, I love it because in Hebrews chapter 1, it said of Jesus, or the Son, that he is the express